So Felicity, tell us about this wonderful project which you've written, which is to help new refugee children understand things in Australia.
I work with refugees, and when you start thinking about all the things that are different in Australia, it gets quite overwhelming. And a lot of refugees don't even plan to come to Australia. They'll go wherever they can to be safe. So they get a lot of new information all at once. So I wrote this book to help refugee and immigrant kids and their families learn some of the things that the average Australian child would know already. For example, even though cockatoos scream like a banshee, they're not going to hurt you. But magpies at a certain time of year in certain conditions are dangerous, and how do you deal with that? Most snakes and spiders will run away from you. Theoretically, brown snakes will attack you, but that's rarely true in real life. So people don't need to be afraid of Australia's infamous snakes and spiders, but it does get a bit tricky in the tropics. You know, there are stinger season lasts more of the year than it doesn't, so you need to take precautions for that. But if in doubt, ask a local, particularly if you're in a crocodile-infested area. And our weather can be very surprising. People don't realise that there's no mobile coverage in the middle of Australia, or very little, so you really can get lost in the desert and die, which is quite a shock to all kinds of tourists, no matter where they're from.
Well, that's an awful lot for people to absorb. So you've broken it down into interesting little stories, haven't you, that can be read to children. But, of course, it's educating the parents as well, isn't it? So you're going to read us a couple of them, and you know, so we can get an idea of it. It's got pictures as well, your book, which is wonderful. And before we go into that, tell us how you distribute the book and how it's available to people.
The book is officially launching in February, so I'm actually reading from a prototype copy. The English version is just about to go to print. We will also have translations into Spanish, Indonesian, Arabic, Dari Persian, and Mandarin. And four of those are in progress at the moment. So hopefully we'll have quite a few ready for the official launch in February. But you can sneakily get an English copy a bit earlier if you contact me or the publisher directly. And the publisher is Shooting Star Press here in Canberra.
So let's hear a couple of stories then, Felicity.
Welcome to Australia, by Felicity Banks. People. Have you ever seen a real-life Australian? Do they have 32 arms and 3 heads? Do they scream like a cockatoo or boom like an emu? Australians can be tall or short, fat or thin, old or young, rich or poor, but they would never say out loud that someone was fat or old or poor. It doesn't matter if you are young or thin or short or rich. Australians are friendly to everyone. What are Australians like? Are they very stinky? Are they very cranky and cross? No! Australians love to laugh and joke, and they even joke about themselves. Australians love to relax and have fun, especially at the beach or watching footy, rugby or cricket. Fun fact. Most people will say, "How are you?" But the answer is always good or fine, even if the person just got run over by a great big truck. How do you say hello to an Australian? Do you bow or clap or give them a great big kiss? Maybe. Usually just a nod is good, or you can shake hands. Sometimes you can give someone a hug or even a kiss on the cheek. You can even invent a special handshake with a friend. True or false? When an Aussie asks you to bring a plate, it means they don't have enough dishes. The answers are in the back of the book. Are Australians rude? Some people think so, but it's not on purpose. Those silly Australians leave their shoes on in someone else's house, unless someone asks them to take their shoes off. They are careful not to spit in public or litter, even though they often use rough or rude words. Australians try hard to be independent, but when a friend needs help, they will be there for you. Australians often shorten names which is their way of being friendly. Weather. Australia is huge. It's as big as China or the USA. That means it's hot and wet in the north, but the south can be cold, rainy and windy. In the middle of Australia, there's a huge desert where it can be dangerous to travel. There are very few towns, no water for ages, and even phones won't work. True or false? It takes over 40 hours to drive from Sydney to Perth. Too hot to handle, how to survive. Number one, how much water do you need? Nope, not enough. Nope, more than that. More. Number two, take a good car and fill it with petrol before you go. Number three, have a buddy system so someone at home knows where you're going and when you'll get there. Fun fact, surviving in winter. Days can vary in temperature by 10 to 20 degrees Celsius, so be an onion. Wear lots of layers to put on or take off.
I'm going to ask you a little bit now, when we go to this, when you were testing this book out, did you have an idea from your work with refugees about the sorts of issues that came up for people who've come here, the things that perplexed them, for instance, and have you tried to cover them all in the book?
I've tried to cover everything that would be reasonably appropriate for a child to know or relevant to someone who has a child. I started with my own experience of living in Indonesia with Indonesians when I was 18 years old, which was very daunting, and I was constantly finding things I didn't know about, and no one even knew to explain them to me because it was so obvious to everyone. For instance, the first time I caught public transport, I knew where I was going, to the post office. I could say that in Indonesian. I could communicate quite well, had the right amount of money. All I had to do is flag down one of the, they call them BEMOs, minibuses, and say, Kantor Pos, and it would be fine. So about 20 minutes into the journey, I was going through rice fields. So I was outside of the city, going to another city, and I didn't know why. And the reason was that the BEMOs were coloured for different cities. So if you caught the colour of BEMO that I caught, that meant you were going to another city. So once I got there, this is in the ancient times, the year 2000, when I certainly didn't have a phone and nor did most people I knew. Certainly my Indonesian friends didn't. I basically had to figure out a way to get back on my own. And it was just so obvious, no one had told me. And I remember going to the supermarket and just being so disoriented because things were arranged differently, everything was in Indonesian, they had no fresh milk whatsoever. It was incredibly confusing. And a lot of the shops had no fresh food either because that would get sold on the street by small traders instead. So things like that trip you up constantly when you move from one country to another. So I started there and then I asked people, immigrants and refugees, what's some stuff that you wish you'd known? And one of the ones that came up over and over again was bring a plate.